morning, everyone, and welcome to MCC. I'm so glad you're here to worship with us. If you feel led to stand, go ahead. If you feel led to dance, do that too. We're here to worship our awesome and amazing God.
Some broken night, you showed up, back me up like you do every time. I get amnesia, I forget that you keep coming around. There ain't no way you ever let me down. Good God.
So especially in a world where Christians are being persecuted and in some places even being sought out and killed. Simply think that they are willing to give their life because they're not willing to give up Jesus. And we pray for those folks as they go through this terrible time. We thank you that we could praise you this morning in our music. As we can partake in communion together and remember the Jesus, to hear a portion of your word brought to us and to apply that lesson to our lives. Again, we thank you that we could assemble here this morning. We thank you for this day you've given us, for all your good blessings, but most of all, we thank you for sending your Son to die on that cross, to take punishment for our sins, and to walk out of that grave and give us the hope of eternal life. We thank you again for the Holy Spirit that fills this room this morning, for all the blessings you give us. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
strength.
Thank you.
touch of your hand, stronger each day.
Joining us. It's always good to set aside this time with you here and online for praise and worship. The Second Continental Congress passed the Revolution for Independence on July the 2nd, 1776. With no opposing votes. After ratifying the text by all 13 colonies, Congress issued that Declaration of Independence. Copies were made and distributed among the colonies, along with one sent to the king. By this time, the 13 colonies and Great Britain had been at war for more than a year. This declaration would only escalate into another 4 years of war that we call the American Revolution. On December the 23rd, 1776, Thomas Paine wrote these words, "These are the times that try men's souls." The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will in this crisis shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. Might I suggest he could have written that on September the 5th, 2021. These are the times that try men's souls. And I might also add, these are the times that try Christ's followers' souls. These are the times that try the faith of Christians everywhere. In times like these, what does that mean today? The climate of our culture is becoming increasingly more secular. And it's not just in the United States, it's all over the world. To be a Christian today is increasingly unpopular. For some, it is simply a social network. Our lives have been taken over with division and racism, with pandemic and variants, with mandates and vaccines and masks, cancer and death, loss of jobs, homes, businesses, finances, security, and hope. Opinions are expressed freely, but with anger. And you agree with me, or you're wrong. The world around us calls that frustration. But listen carefully. The devil joyfully calls that blindness. Blindness to the way he is keeping the church from doing her work. While everyone has opinions of politics and withdrawal of troops and stimulus checks, Christians are paying little to no attention at all to the missionaries and their families in hiding to escape beheading by the Taliban for their faith. It is impossible to live openly as a Christian in Afghanistan, with or without masks. A secret Afghan believer spoke with Open Door Ministry, and he said, "How we survive daily, only God knows. He knows, listen to this, because he has been kind to dwell with us. But we are tired of all the death around us." And it's not just Afghanistan. It's North Korea, Syria, India, China, Nigeria, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, Sudan, Yemen, and the list goes on. And it's inching its way into our Judeo-Christian America. There's hate everywhere. People who want to kill us just because they don't like us. The time is not coming. The time is here. When people are looking for something and someone who will give them a sure hope, I believe that something is the church. And I believe that someone is Jesus. Don't you? And a watching world is dismissing the church and her Jehovah God, asking, "Where is your God now? Doesn't he care? Has he lost his power? And more they see the church acting just like everyone else. Because the devil has the church so blinded, we have forgotten Paul's reminder, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And yet the church, like the world, fights each other. Our struggle, he said, is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Neither our worship nor our mission can be misplaced in times like these. They belong to King Jesus alone. It's still true. There is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. But the example and evidence the church gives by the lives we live today show little to prove we truly believe that. Now let me ask you a question. Is this the first and only time like this for a nation or for the church? Of course not. Paul Harvey once said, in times like these, it helps to recall that there have always been times like these. Understand, God has always wanted his people to live in a place where they could fellowship and worship him as their God. In the very beginning, God took three of the 6 days of creation, three of them, to create a utopia for us. A beautiful world, lush garden, suited for God to walk with his creation. And then he created man. And the Bible says, don't know if you ever caught this, he put him in the garden. Created man from the dust of the earth. And he put him in the garden. But as we know, sin ruined all that. Man multiplied and filled the earth, and so did their sin. So eventually God destroyed this world with a great flood. Then he called Abraham to a foreign land and promised to make a nation and give them this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And sin followed them. Sin and idolatry led to their captivity, and their land was taken away. But God promised a remnant would return to Jerusalem, the city of God. And in the fullness of time, when the time was just right, albeit times like these, God sent forth his Son. And his Son became the Savior the world still needs today. A Savior from sin and death, a Savior of reconciliation, a Savior of power, and love, and mercy, and forgiveness, and grace. And what's he doing now? He's preparing another place for us. Can you believe it? A place beyond our imagination. And he's preparing to come get us and to take us home. But until then, in times like these, he has given us his Holy Spirit to see us through the troubles of these times. And he assured us, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. That's hope. His church was founded on the gospel of a risen Savior in times like these. The church was persecuted and scattered. Many were killed. And yet, in times like these, those who were persecuted and scattered never forgot their mission. They went everywhere sharing the gospel. And the church grew. All over the world, in times like these, the church stayed her mission. And the church grew. Like the ancient Roman world, ours is a culture where Christianity is one of many options. The book of 1 Peter was written in Babylon, which is today's modern Iraq. It was written in Babylon to the scattered believers who were being persecuted by Nero. And it's a letter of encouragement. It's a letter of encouragement to those living in times like these, suffering for their righteousness. They share a common faith with Christians everywhere, and they face common problems. The basic problem is to keep on living for God in the midst of a society ignorant of a true God. Because they are Christians, they are misunderstood and subjected to cruel treatment. Peter's purpose is to help those early Christians see their sufferings as temporary in the full light of the coming eternal glory. Never lose sight of that, he tells us. Stand firm. Keep your eyes on Jesus. In the midst of all their discouragements and frustrations, in times like these, the sovereign God will keep them and enable them by faith to have joy in times like this. Do you see even the church full of joy today? Life in a pagan society ruled by non-believers is difficult. And when it comes to the example of joy in difficult times, perhaps the best person to look at is the Apostle Paul. In prison after beatings, Paul and Silas sang praises. And now in the difficult times of their lives, Paul gives advice for believers in our difficult times. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. The church of Philippi had fallen on some pretty difficult times. Paul had paid a price to bring the gospel to Philippi, and this church loved him for it. And Paul loved them. Look how he speaks of them. Look at verse 1. My brothers and sisters, You whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown. What a love he had for them. Yet in Paul's imprisonment, they've not been able to help him very much. In fact, they've only recently been able to send him an offering through Epaphroditus. But here are some of the things he writes back and instructs them to do, and instructs us to do, to get through difficult times, times like these. Number one, he says, stand firm. Back to verse 1. Therefore, my beloved, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. Are we standing firm? Stand firm is the Greek admonition to take a stand, to remain stationary, to persevere. This is the word the Greeks would have used to describe the guards at the tomb of the unknown soldier who refused to leave their post during Hurricane Sandy, even though they had permission to do so. They stood firm. Their mission, their calling, was higher than Hurricane Sandy. Maybe you've seen the sign at the farm which read, "Don't shoot anything around here that's not moving. It may be my help." I think that the Lord would put a sign up like that for his church to the devil. "Don't shoot anything around here that's not moving. That's my help." They're standing firm. Paul is telling us to stand in hard times. We are not to let the essentials go undone. We are never to stop being the church. These are times when we may not be able to get as much progress made as we would like to. But during such times, times like these, we must hold our ground and be faithful to what God wants us to do and not be distracted by times like these. An old adage says, "Today's mighty is just yesterday's nut that stood its ground." Secondly, he says, stand in unity with the saints everywhere. Verse 2, "I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the book of life." We know little about these women, but evidently they were of some importance in the church at Philippi. Perhaps they were wives of key leaders in the church. But we know they were at odds with one another. We should not be surprised that even in the early church, this existed. But it so hindered the church and her work that the Apostle Paul had to take a portion of inspired scripture to admonish them for it. I like the way the message says it. "I urge Euodia and Syntyche to iron out their differences and make up. God doesn't want his children holding grudges. Listen carefully. Little things can cause hurt feelings, and hurt feelings can turn into big things. And that always hinders the church's work, and it gives the devil another victory. The worst of it all is it gives him a victory in the church. Paul pleads with these two women to work out whatever is between them. But he doesn't know if that's going to be sufficient. So he calls on his friends to help the situation. He doesn't hesitate to make known the seriousness and the serious nature of this conflict. But he remembers that these women are faithful helpers in the gospel. They're not enemies of the faith. They're partners in the gospel. They had helped Paul and Clement and other Christian workers, but now they're not helping anybody. Any of us can find ourselves in that place, but we don't have to stay there. We should always remember we are dealing with brothers and sisters whose names are in the book of life right along beside ours. We are going to spend eternity together. Thirdly, he says, rejoice. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. It's so important he repeats it. Rejoice. I'll say it again. Rejoice. And he tells us to rejoice always, even in times like these. What kind of testimony to a lost world is a believer who says God is alive, but is acting as if God is dead? What kind of testimony to a lost world is a believer who says God is in control, but is living in a panic? Then Paul says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Ask you a serious question. Would you say people are showing gentleness in times like these today? Are you gentleness? Now, don't misunderstand me. Even Christians feel the effects of hardships like any other person. But if it embitters our spirit, if it makes us an old grump, how are we any better than an unbeliever? We who claim to be filled with the sweet Holy Spirit need to be sweet and holy. Why? The rest of verse 5 says, the Lord is near. How many of you believe that? The Lord is near. Perhaps it reminds us that he's watching. Perhaps it reminds us that he's coming. But it certainly reminds us of the truth echoed all through the scriptures. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. The message says, God doesn't miss a thing. I like that. He's alert to good and evil alike. What's going on right now is no surprise to him. In times like these, we can rejoice. We can be gentle because God is near. He's not unaware of what's happening to his children or to his church. Next, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. Did you know the Bible has a list of things not to worry about? Turn to Matthew 6 and start reading with me at verse 25. These are Jesus' words. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about, get ready, here comes the list, your life. Don't worry about what you will wear. Don't worry about what you will eat or drink. About your body, what you will wear. Now jump down to verse 27 and answer Jesus' question. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Anybody figured out how to do that by worrying? Anybody? Well, I haven't. The list continues in verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you'll eat or drink. Don't worry about what you'll wear. Don't worry about tomorrow. And Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. That begs the question, in times like these, how does one do that? And Paul says, pray with thanksgiving. In times like these, what do we pray about? What is there to give thanks for? Paul says everything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Praying with thanksgiving involves trusting God. Notice four words are used in that verse. Prayer. Pray. By prayer. Prayer is a solemn request for help, an expression of thanks addressed to God, and an expression of need for His help. Prayer. And petition. A petition is requesting an answer, a response to a specific need. We circulate petitions all the time. It's presenting a formal request to an authority with respect to a particular cause or issue or need. Petition the Father. He says, with thanksgiving. The attitude of the heart expressing gratitude no matter what. I don't know if it's going to go the way I want it to or not. Thank you, God, for listening. Thank you for doing what you think is best. Because what I want, like Jesus, is that your will, not mine, be done. And Paul says thanksgiving should always accompany our prayers. Does it? The fourth word he uses, request. A request is a specific, definite something that you're asking for. It's wonderful to teach our children those prayers like, and God bless mommy and daddy. Okay. But as we grow as Christ followers, our prayers need to grow as well. They need to include specific requests. Asking God to bless mom and dad with wisdom as parents, asking him to help keep their marriage strong, asking him to heal their illnesses and more. When we pray, we should always remember three things. We should always remember the love of God, because it is the love of God that always desires only what is best for us. You've got to believe that. It's not what I want all the time, but it's what he desires for us, because he knows that's what's best for us. That, secondly, we need to remember the wisdom of God, because he does know what is best for us. And thirdly, we should remember the power of God, because it's the power of God alone that can bring to pass that which is best for us. He can make it happen. He is still in the business of working all things together for our good. Always remember his love, his wisdom, and his power. Is all that difficult to do in times like these? You bet they are. However, in times like these, if we will stand firm in the Lord, if we will do these things, look at what Paul says the result will be in verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And he tells us how to get to that point in our Christian faith and life. Even in times like these, verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The prophet Isaiah said a long time ago, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on thee, because they trust in you. Wouldn't you agree that today most people's minds are not on the things of God? Church, we're going to get our minds back on God and the things of God. Only there can we find peace. Peace of mind, peace of heart, peace of soul. Vance Havner said, we do not usually learn that Christ is all we need until we reach that point where he is all we have. Aren't you tired of living day to day in worry and fear? Aren't you ready for some peace again? It's still available, even in times like these, through Jesus. Our God is able to calm our troubled heart and mind. A troubled heart is stressful and harmful to our body. A troubled mind takes away our peace. We cannot be free of our worry until we have freed our worries from our control. The peace that God gives surpasses all understanding. When it makes no sense to be at peace, God can give peace. when the numbers don't add up, God can take his divine stamp and write peace on the ledger. In times like these, we must have the surpassing peace of God. Don't you think the world around us needs a little peace in their hearts, a little peace in their souls? That does not mean the peace of God is such a mystery that man's mind cannot understand it, although that's true. It means the peace of God is so precious that man's mind, with all its skill, with all of its knowledge, can never produce it. It can never be of man's contriving. It is only of God's giving. The way to peace is in prayer, to entrust ourselves and all who we hold dear to the loving hands of God. So what's our takeaway? Even in times like these, perhaps especially in times like these, we are to fill our minds with the things of God. The Word of God should occupy our hearts. The communion with Christ should consume our thoughts. Prayer should be our constant conversation with Him. Time for you to decide. Will you decide to follow the crowd, the world? Will you decide to follow the science? Will you decide to follow Jesus? The Joshua of old, as for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your word and its assurance that even in times like these, you are still God. You are near. You are in control. You do have the peace that we all long for and are seeking today, as well as are those around us. But help us to understand it means that we've got to give all of our worries over to you. Don't worry about our life. Don't worry about what we're going to eat or drink or what we're going to wear. And certainly don't worry about tomorrow. We need you to get us through today. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for you are with us. Help us to be the people. Help us to be the church that stands firm, that stands in unity with saints everywhere. The church, Father, that loves and trust and yield to you. Forgive us where we have become more like the world than you desire for us to be. May the world see our love and gentleness. May it see you through us. If there's one here this morning who needs to just surrender it all to you, Father, bring you a life of repentance, be buried with you in Christian baptism, and wash the sin away, rise and walk a new life with you, a life filled with the Holy Spirit to guide us through these troubled times, because in this world we will have trouble. but will guide us through until we get with you in that place you're preparing for us beyond our imagination. Until then, in times like these, help us to be what you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. As we stand and as we sing, if there's a decision on your heart, would you come?
Speaking of prayer, you saw in the bulletin there was about the prayer revolution that's happening here in Mahomet with a partnership with Open Room. These are the books that they're talking about you can pick up at the Open Room. We have about 25 or so right now in a box right outside here at the sign-up table that's out there with all the clipboards and stuff. It's in a box. Feel free to grab one as long as you're going to read it and try to participate as much as you can in the activities around the community. It's the pastors in the community and Christine from the Open Room, they have a lot of passion behind this. We believe prayer is what's going to get us through this.
Amen.
And what's going to move us forward and what's truly going to bring us together as a community. So we'd encourage you to be a part of this. If you're a couple and you want to just read one book, that's fine. But if you're one of those couples like me, and Polly hates it because I mark up my books, she has to have her own. You can get two, whatever. And when we run out this week, I'll get some more from Christine and we'll have more next week. But they're right outside here on the table, right out the door. And as you're leaving today, too, there's sign-ups for the church picnic. So make sure you sign up for that. Woo! Anytime there's food, fun, and outdoors, it's a good time. So.
Okay. Cost?
No cost.
No, these are free. You don't have to buy them. They're free. Anything else? You sure? Okay. Thank you all. Huh?
If you bring it.
If you like liquid diet, you come on over. Father God, thank you for this church family. Thank you. As hard as it is to say this, but we must pray with thanksgiving. Thank you for these difficult times. Because the best time to sell flashlights is when it's dark. We have the light for this dark world. Father, use us, guide us, strengthen us. Help us to stand firm in the Lord. Help us to stand in unity with one another. And not just here. Lay the burden of our Christian brothers and sisters all around the world who are facing struggles literally of life and death, beheading their children, being killed. Lay that on our hearts to pray for one another. To hear of those who face that every day and then say, you are so kind to dwell with them is beyond my imagination. If they love you that dearly, I want to love you that dearly. So as we leave today, let us leave as warriors for Christ, who will not go with every wind as it blows in every direction. The church that will stand firm for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Saturday was silent, surely it was true. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? Friday's disappointment, and Sunday's empty too. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Pentecostal fire, stirring something new. You're not gonna run out of miracles. This is a place make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out, I'm going.